Hello, everybody. It is Carrie here with Unicorn Company, and oh boy. So, first of all, I'm going to cover the thing I wanted to cover, which is the new recognition guide, Clan IllClan. I can't use English today. I apologize. Recognition Guide IllClan Volume 25. And it has the normal intro, which we've seen through all other 24 rec guides. And this one brings us to the first vehicles in the rec guide series, the Bulldog Medium Tank, which I really like. When I see this, I totally see, oh, what's what am I thinking? MechWarrior 4. Like, this brings back so many memories of MechWarrior 4 and squishing so many of these things. They were very, very fun little things to destroy. Now, of course, the new Bulldog Medium Tank that they show in here, it's a pretty interesting upgrade. It's a fuel cell powered version with an ER large laser as its primary weapon, with two SRM-4s that are slaves to Artemis 4 fire control. Excuse me. Artemis 4 fire control. Has case for the ammunition with 2 tons of ammo, a heavy machine gun in the front with 1 ton of ammunition. So yeah, it's, I mean, it's a nice little tank. Really, the artwork really gives you a MechWarrior 4 vibe, and I kind of like the artwork for this. Next, we have the Demolisher heavy tank, fuel cell version again. And not too much to say here. It's two UAC 20s, two Ultra AC 20s. So, I mean, this thing's throwing a lot of lead at the target. 8 tons of ammunition. So, it has a lot of sustainability to it. Case, and it has a supercharger. So, this thing can move up to 6 hexes in a turn. Alpha Strike, I haven't looked at the Alpha Strike stats for this one, but 3.5 would normally be a 6. With the supercharger, I want to say it basically, if I remember right, you multiply by 2 and then, or multiply by, you get like a, I want to say 1.5, almost like the run speed. So this might be either 8 or 10 movement off the top of my head. I'd have to actually look at the Alpha Strike card. Ton of armor, well, tons of it, 11 of them actually. And, yeah, this thing is just like a beast as far as stats. As far as the art for this one, I'm not the biggest fan. If I remember correctly, and I'd have to look, the original Demolisher had a over under setup for its autocannons. This one, they're turned at like a 45 degree angle. I don't know. I sort of liked the over under. This one seems a little weird, but I get it. You would actually have better room for feed mechanisms inside the turret and so forth. God knows where you would put a person in there, but there is a cupola for a commander. So obviously, there's at least one person in that turret. I'm assuming with an auto loader, and a gunner, because it looks like there's a sight. But yeah. Actually, it looks like there's three sights. Okay. We'll get to it in a minute. Next, we have the Chameleon. The Chameleon is, there's two variants of it in here, the 8V and the 9V. Interesting story. It is the whole reason for the two variants, apparently, is because Defiance Industries subletted out to JB Battlemax, who made the 8V and started making some sweet, sweet money because they were selling it to everybody under the sun as far as like a cheap, hey, you need something that counts as a mech? Well, here's a Chameleon. And of course, Defiance, wanting a share of that sweet, sweet money and feeling rather embarrassed by saying, oh yeah, JB, you can build this thing. Nobody ever wants it. Started building a more combat capable version of their own, which is very similar to the 8V. So the 8V, I'm just kind of going through them real quick. It's a 696 300XL engine on a 50 ton chassis, so you're getting sick, you're getting decent movement. 12 double heat sinks, 9 tons of armor. The weapons loadout is pretty good. I mean, it's a good all-around like trooper mech. You got an ER large laser, medium laser, two medium X pulse lasers, a third medium X pulse laser, another medium laser. And then the machine gun ammo, there's half ton, it's protected by case two. The 9V, I want to say, is pretty much the same thing. Except there's a few differences. It's got a reinforced structure. It's a 300 light engine with 10 double heat sinks with 6 tons of armor, so it doesn't have nearly the amount of armor as the 8V. But the 9V is the Defiance Industries one, where they're like, oh no, JB Battlemax is making, tons of money off this. We need to put out our own real quick. And it's got like a light PPC, an ER medium laser in the right arm, two small X pulse lasers in the right torso, two center torso machine guns, a small X pulse laser in the left torso with half ton of ammunition, case two, and an ER medium laser in the left arm. So, yeah, Defiance pretty much made a knockoff of a licensed product of the, yeah, go figure. It's kind of weird. Now, the artwork for the Chameleon is pretty awesome, and it does evoke the Exterminator, which of course the original Chameleon did as well, and it's quite intentional because the Chameleon and the Exterminator share some lineage. And at one point, the Chameleon, if I recall correctly, the Star League had Chameleons that had the same light polarization system as the Exterminator, and they sort of acted in a similar role. So, it's really nice art. For the scale, I still think the cockpits, like some of the cockpits are great. Like I did a little YouTube video, the Nova Cat, perfect cockpit. It's like it's nice, if you put it next to a car printed at the 1/265th scale, which is the BattleTech scale. And I don't mean a car somebody made up. I printed some like Chargers, Corvettes, a few Lanchas, because I have a weird thing for Lanchas. But yeah, so if you put it next to that, like the Nova Cat has something about the size of a car windshield. The Mad Cat, on the other hand, and the Battlemaster and everything else, you've got so much glass that you are like talking about. There's no way that is technically nine armor. Just saying, like cockpits on like some of the mechs are far more realistic than on others. The big bubble cockpits, while I get the appeal, I feel like they should start scaling down the bubblishness, Like the Pouncer has a nice cockpit for, what it has, which is the next mech in there. And it doesn't give me the whole thing, so I'm not going to go back through the 3050 tech readout to find the actual base stats. We haven't covered the Pouncer yet, and these are all going to get covered really in their own things. But the Pouncer, it's 40 tonner, has moves 6.9. I'm going off memory here a little bit. But the Pouncer was a design related to the Puma. So it's essentially take the Puma and make the thing jump. So there are some new variants in here. You have the T, which, and mind you, this thing has 15 and a half tons of pod space. So that's what you're working with. You have the T. It's got a couple plasma rifles, one in each arm, and an ER small laser. So interesting. The F has a plasma cannon in the right arm, ER medium laser, active probe, remote sensor dispenser, two heavy flamers, and two ER flamers. So it's built more as a scout type unit overall, whereas the T is something of a heat slinging crazed monster. Then you have the G, which is three improved heavy medium lasers, three medium pulse lasers, four SRM4 launchers, with case two for the ammunition, which is just insane. I imagine an Alpha Strike, that thing has a really heavy throw at short range. The eye configuration is an LRM-20 Artemis IV with 3 tons of ammunition and an ER large pulse laser. So this is your fire support unit for light units. I think 3 tons of ammo is a little excessive, but nah. Then you have the W, which I can see being really terrifying because all of the pouncers are jump. And one of my favorite mechs is the Black Hawk KU. The other one is the Wraith, mainly because of pulse lasers and because you can jump in pulse laser things. Well, the W configuration of the pouncer has a large pulse laser in each arm, has an improved heavy medium laser in the left torso, case two to make sure that it doesn't kill itself with that thing, and a couple extra double heat sinks so it doesn't overheat, which means jumping becomes a plus one. Jumping is like walking in the W configuration, which is terrifying. And then you have the X configuration, which has a lance in the right arm with two double heat sinks, a laser anti-missile system, with a double heat sink in the right torso, a plasma cannon, supercharger, and another double heat sink, and seven improved heavy small lasers in the left arm. I don't know what to make of that. That's a charge somebody with the lance and then zap them with seven. No. Ouchies, ouchies, and more ouchies. I'm not on board with that. As for the artwork for the pouncer, awesome artwork. I love it. I kind of wish we had more of a downward angle instead of an upward angle. Because you're kind of left at guessing what's the back of this thing supposed to look like. Or I should say the dorsal section of it, because it's a hunched over chicken walker. But it's a really nice art piece. I do like the fact that if the miniature follows through with the same thing with the panels, that you're gonna have some nice big leg panels to put decals on, which is an issue that's come up with some of this stuff. We're not gonna touch too much on it, but yeah. Now, of course, there's three other designs in here. There's the Pegasus upgrade. Of course, doesn't tell us too much. A Vindicator. This would be the 7L. And the Wraith, which there's a record sheet for that in here as well. I don't have the stats in front of me, so the Pegasus upgrade, as far as the art, I like it a lot. I don't understand the whole point of having a giant gun barrel next to a window that blocks the line of sight of the window. Wouldn't you just cover that with a panel? That seems a little excessive. Like, if you're gonna have a gun barrel next to the freaking window, just put a panel over the window. You can't use that window. It's literally looking at a gun barrel that is so big that you can't see past it. Common sense would say tack a freaking piece of panel to it, you know, just tack weld something on there so that way there's one less piece of glass to shatter in your face if something goes wrong. The Vindicator, it's a nice interpretation of the Vindicator. Looking at, let me see if I can zoom. Oh, I can. Yay. Zooming in on the art. The barrel of the Vindicator. So one of the cool things about the Vindicator when it was originally came out, and like I said, all these are going to get their actual things. The Vindicator's right arm where the PPC is housed, the cooling jacket has tubes that extend all the way up to the front of the barrel. Now this one, they've sort of like, I don't know how that's supposed to work really, but either way, if you're near a body of water, and this is fluff, it's not game rules, so you know, I mean, if you're playing in the RPG, you could, you know, as RPG type thing, you could use this. You could take the PPC and just dip the tip. Phrasing. You could dip the PPC into a lake or a body of water, and the tubes on the outside of the barrel would pull water up into the housing to cool the PPC even further. So you could shed some heat that way, and it's really a cool concept. Never any game rules for it. I'm sure there's a quirk or something. I don't know them. I don't know it. And then the Wraith. This one's hit or miss for me. I don't know if I like it. It just seems weird. Does that make any sense? Like, I see what they're going for, but it seems it looks weird. So, anyway, let's take a look at the stats for these real quick. Pegasus Scout Hover Tank is the first record sheet. Moves 914, goes up to 18 because it has a supercharger. Hovercraft has. Oh, I'm not going to do all the armor facings. It has decent armor, I will say that. Medium X-Pulse laser in the front. Four MML3s in the turret. So, yeah, this could be an interesting design. Essentially, it's either a mobile LRM or SRM launcher, depending on what kind of ammo it has. It does have. It only lists it with the LRM ammo at 80. I don't remember how much per ton the MML comes with. And it doesn't give me the tonnage, so that's not helpful. But as an active probe supercharger, I mean, it's a decent design. I'm sure if you loaded that up with SRM ammo, it would be terrifying, or half and half, you'd be pretty well off. We talked about the Bulldog, we talked about that. What the heck is that? Oh, okay. I'm going to keep on rolling here. So I want to see the Vindicator and the. All right, so there's all the Pouncer variants, which, Jesus H. Christ, some of those are terrifying. Okay, here we go, Vindicator, the 7L, 4.64, 45 tonner, small X-Pulse laser in the left arm. The right arm has a Clan ER PPC. Yeah, awesome, you know. And then an LRM5 in the left torso, and an ER medium laser, inner sphere vintage. Now, mind you, it does not tell us. Excuse me, it does not tell us the vintage of the LRM5. Although, since it has a minimum range, and I believe Clan LRMs don't, that should be an inner sphere LRM5 and a inner sphere ER medium laser in the head. Because, yeah, reasons. Armor is pretty good. I mean, it's not like amazingly thick, but it's a Vindicator. You know, it's a 45 tonner. You're not expecting it to have like assault mech armor. And it seems pretty interesting. I mean, it's the stock Vindicator, like brought up to modern spec, and I kind of like it. Then we have the Wraith, the TR5 Wraith. So this is an oddity of a Wraith. It's a 55 tonner. Movement is 6.9 up to 12 because it has a supercharger, I believe. Or mask. Which one? Supercharger. With a large X pulse laser and two medium X pulse lasers. So the large is in the right arm, the two mediums in the left arm. Armor is decent for a mech of its size, but the Wraith was never known for its armor. It's known for jumping around and not dying. So, yeah, and the X pulse lasers pretty much give you a little bit of extra range and damage over the standard inner sphere pulse lasers, if I recall correctly. It might just be range. Damage 6 and 9, which, yeah, that's. So it gives you a little bit more range. I mean, in the Dark Age, I find it interesting that there's not. Like X pulse lasers haven't fallen by the wayside because of the amount of clan equipment that Clan Seafox is just flinging out into the community, but you know, into the inner sphere ecosystem. But yeah, so the design itself is pretty cool. I just don't know about the art. When the Alpha Strike box eventually makes its way to retail, I will have to get a copy just so I can see how the model looks itself when in person. Because the art just is not doing it for me. The Pouncer, yes. The Wraith, eh. Same with the Vindicator. I like the Vindicator arc. The Wraith, just, I don't know. It feels weird. Like, the Wraith always felt more svelte. And the artwork makes it look really chunky. And that was sort of one of the things about the Wraith. It wasn't chunky. It was this thin, svelte, high speed aerial killer. And now it looks, I don't know, chunky. Okay, so next thing I wanted to talk about real quick, because Southern Assault is what, 2 days away now? Oh my God. I feel so unprepared. Yeah, 2 days away now. Less than 2 days away, technically, because Friday, Saturday, yeah. Saturday morning is when it starts. So, Awesome Sauce, maybe? I don't know. I am looking forward to it, though. I am looking forward to Southern Assault. Southern Assault 2, I'll get to see some people. Hopefully, I met last year, who will be back again. My friend Roz, she will not be coming with me, unfortunately, but one of my partners will, and I'm very excited about that. So, and I've been teaching her how to play Alpha Strike. I did offer to let her have an army for the event. She has turned it down. Sad face. Anyway. So yeah, I'm gonna get to go do that in a couple days. I'm really excited. I'm a little bit nervous, but I am excited. I had intended, okay, so I made a display board for it. I had intended for it to have had intended for it to have some stuff colored in a certain other podcast's colors. Because it's a city and it's, but I just didn't have time to do the whole thing. I was gonna do this little diorama and it was gonna be cool, and I ran out of time. But I do have a little display board. It's an urban board and it's kind of neat. And the mechs fit in, well, the color scheme of the mechs don't fit into urban at all, but we'll get into that later. Probably not this episode. We'll talk about that after the event. And so I'm looking forward to that. And if you haven't signed up or anything, it is 2 days away. You have enough time to get in and do this. I encourage you. There's a lot of people. I want to say there were like over 50 something people last time I checked. I'm the only girl. Yay. It just feels very scary. Like I'm representing everybody that's not a guy. Jamie? Anyway, beyond that, so I'm gonna give you all a few seconds because there's one other thing I need to talk about. And let's see, we are at 23, 36, 37, 38. All right, so I'm gonna give you all a minute to hop out if you don't want to hear about this. This is essentially about the new drama going on because of an announcement that was made by Catalyst Game Labs. So I'm going to drop out for about 15 seconds here at the 24-minute mark and go. Okay, so if you are still here, then you want to hear about the drama. All right, Catalyst Game Labs released the preview art for the Patton tank. They did not include the name Rommel with it, which apparently has stirred up some controversy because people are apparently claiming that this is going to lead to a slippery slope of stuff losing its name or whatever. And I just, I don't know. I really, It's frustrating. So give me a second. Okay, so the long and short of it is, they're not going to be mentioning the Rommel anymore. They're not going to be upgrading the Rommel anymore. The Rommel, as far as anybody should be concerned, has, found its way out of history in BattleTech. It's still in the past. It still exists. There's mentions of it prior, but there's no going forward in the game. There's just not going to be any mentions of upgrades to the Rommel tank. Which, fine, whatever. The Rommel tank has, it only has one, two, three, four variants that are either standard, introductory, or advanced, and one experimental variant. The experimental is the howitzer prototype, and then there's the Rommel, the Gauss version, the sealed version, and the howitzer. And yeah, it's infrequently upgraded. It's not a big deal. It's not like, it's not like it's some giant key pivotal part of the game, that the Rommel tank is there. It's not like the Marauder or the Warhammer or anything else where the when the Unseen happened, like a good chunk of the art and fiction, well, the art mainly, good chunk of the art was just ripped away from the existence. In fact, the Rommel shares the exact same chassis as the Patton and the Axel. So, a bunch of dude bros, led by the obvious, the obvious suspects of Razor Fist and Blaine Pardo, have decided that they are, pissed off about it. And I'm really amazed that either of them care. But of course, now there is like this giant, loud cacophony of noise about the stupid Rommel. And you know what? Things fall by the wayside. In this case, the Rommel is literally falling by the wayside in the history of BattleTech. If you just stick with the Axel and the Patton, then, fine. You stick with the Axel and the Patton. In fact, it's not a big deal. I mean, personally, I kind of like the fact that the Patton is ascendant. But anyway. I mean, I just, I don't know. People are acting like this is something where the tank is being removed from the game, when in actuality, it's not. The tank itself is just not getting upgraded. Now, I find it interesting that they are all upset about this when the Patton has barely received any upgrades over the course of its little of its existence, because with the Patton you have like three versions of the Patton, I want to say. You have the Patton, which was in 3039, the Patton Ultra. And then you have the Patton with the silver bullet Gauss rifle, which is experimental and kind of sucks. That's it. I mean, the Patton does not receive a ton of upgrades. It was introduced, they were both introduced in 3027. So it's not like they are Star League era designs that it's going to affect the backstory of the game a ton. They have identical chassis. They look identical. There's no physical difference between them. If you want to continue running Rommel tanks, you can continue running Rommel tanks. The concerning part about this for me, and if you don't want to hear about politics in your game, you better step away right now. The concerning part of this for me is that a ton of people have come out and they apparently believe the myth that Rommel was like a squeaky clean guy who just happened to be fighting for the Nazis. It's not true. Rommel worked with the Hitler Youth. I believe he was in charge of the Hitler Youth. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I don't feel like fact-checking that right now. Rommel was approached by the people in North Africa who were the SS and working with the SS, with the job of ethnically cleansing the area. Regardless of whether or not he approved of that, which it's not really known, there are different opinions on that. He let it happen. For all the people who say that Rommel was just a normal guy who was a brilliant general who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up having to work with the Nazis, I say this. Rommel was in North Africa long enough to turn himself over to the British. He could have gone over to the British with strategic knowledge and helped end the war quicker. He chose not to. The only time it became any kind of an issue was later on. And that was when Rommel was being considered for if they overthrew Hitler and they needed to place somebody in charge who would be personable enough, popular enough to be that head of state, and that was Rommel. He was implicated in the plot to assassinate Hitler by not a confession, but one of the people who it was known helped plan the assassination of Hitler and failed, tried to kill himself, and on his deathbed kept mumbling the name Rommel. We don't know if Rommel was going to actually try to kill Hitler. Regardless, his strategic and tactical acumen does not outweigh the fact that he was a Nazi. He was part of the Wehrmacht. He fought against the Allies, and even with ample opportunity to defect to the Allies during the North African campaign, he did not take that. So, that is my take. It may be a hot take for some of you. And once again, I might lose listeners. I don't care. I mean, my beliefs are that, you know what? As far as game wise, losing the Rommel, nobody's losing it. You can use the new Patton miniature as a Rommel or an Axel. Personal wise, as a student of military history, I've read his book. It's not that impressive, actually. He had a tendency to push forward of his lines, get himself into trouble, and somehow not die. As far as my personal beliefs on him as a person, he was a Nazi. Enough said. So that is everything I have for you today. I hope you all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. And you will be hearing from me with an actual real episode in a little over a week. This is Unicorn Actual signing off.